Please pray with me. Gracious God, giver of life, the one whom Jesus called Father, we are awed this day by your presence and power. You have, through your grace and mercy, brought us to this faith. We can do nothing else but worship your majesty and praise your holy name. Relying on you, our paths are secure, our service is genuine, and our witness is overflowing. Help us in our need to turn to you. Help us in our fear to find courage in you. Help us in our doubt to boldly speak the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. On this day in which we honor fathers, we give thanks for the men who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and gratitude. We ask that you be with the fathers who have lost a child through death or separation, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them. We ask your blessings on men, though without children of their own, have, like fathers, nurtured and cared for us. We give you the thanks for the men and women who fill the role of father for us, especially those who also have to be mothers as well as fathers. We pray for fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families. For them we ask your mercy. We pray for the men of this congregation who will one day be fathers, that your love will be evident in their actions. God, you alone know our feelings of this day. Comfort those who mourn. Strengthen those who live in discouragement and despair. Empower those who have been blessed by the love of a worldly father to pass that love on to others. God, our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Loving God, we now humbly ask your healing touch and guiding hands as we silently lift our joys and concerns. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson this week is from Genesis 17, verses 1 to 7. And as I was reading them, a couple of thoughts occurred to me, which I'm sure Sherry always appreciates. One is, people must have lived a really long time back in biblical times. Another is, if God suddenly physically appeared before me, I think I would probably faint, not just fall down face down. Anyway, Genesis 17, verses 1 to 7. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. You can offer your commentary anytime. At least that's what I'm saying now.
Now.
Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. On May 29th, it's a Wednesday, a state police officer named Joe Richards was in his patrol car and decided he had some paperwork to do. It was near Alcona, Michigan, up by Alpena. So he pulled off to the side of the road and parked like state police officers do, kind of pointing out so that he could get on the road fast if someone went by that he needed to meet. And so he was there and he was doing his paperwork, and out of the corner of his eye, saw movement, and it was a toddler by the side of the road, unaccompanied. He got out of his patrol car, and what happened next is on his dash cam. His name is Sergeant Joe Richards. It happened near Alcona, Michigan on May 29th. You can Google it and see this picture. What you see on the dash cam, including here, is the toddler bolted out into the road, and you see that state police officer going, no, 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 running after him. He scooped the child back, and you hear the brakes. A dump truck goes by with its brakes smoking. It's amazing to see. When Officer Richardson was interviewed, he was very matter of fact, and you can look at the news story and see his interview. It was kind of like, well, there was that little girl, and she needed help, and I just helped her. That easy. Well, of course, he's being called a hero. And you have to ask, what in the world does it mean to be a hero? Well, certainly he was brave. But is bravery what makes a hero? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is brave 5 minutes longer. So it's not that great capacity for bravery, then what is it? I would suggest that the thing that has us naming that sergeant a hero is that he was willing in that moment to sacrifice self, to go above and beyond, to forget who he was, and to care for the other. Isn't it true that that's what we applaud heroes for? We applaud our first responders and our soldiers and others who have gone beyond themselves or perhaps do it for a living, and we call them heroes. In addition, in our own lives, we applaud the heroes who have stepped in and sacrificed to rescue us, to put us on good footing, or perhaps even to teach us a better way. We understand who the heroes are. But perhaps when we're asked about our own heroic potential, we say, no, not me. I'm not a hero. I know heroes, but I would never be one. And yet, if we understand heroism to be going above oneself and working for a greater good, that heroic action is part of our Christian understanding. Jesus said, love God and love one another above self. Being a hero is what we rise to as disciples of Jesus Christ. In John 15, on the night before Jesus' death, Jesus talked to his disciples and he said, greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for another. Sacrifice is part of heroism. And you may doubt whether you're a hero. You may say, well, I can't stop a train single-handedly. I can't burn through steel with my X-ray eyes. And chances are I will never pull a toddler from the oncoming path of a dump truck. But the truth is that every day we have the opportunity to be heroes, to move and rise above ourselves for another. So, this summer series, we're going to talk about how we are heroes, giving a little bit of guidance, a little bit of insight. And we're going to have some fun doing it. First of all, we're going to look at some people from the Bible and their heroism. And what we're going to find is that in most cases, the people who are called to be biblical heroes are normal, everyday people. They're just doing their thing, and God calls them to extraordinary activity. So we're going to learn about them. In addition, we're going to learn about superheroes. Now, I have to tell you, we're going to use some examples from superheroes, that this is a real stretch for me. A real stretch. The only things I know about superheroes are in movies that I've seen recently. I believe seeing those movies is simply an act of love on my part, because it's not my thing. I read, you know, as far as comics go, I remember Archie. I remember little Richie Rich, do you remember? But I didn't read any of these comics. And quite honestly, in my recent studies, I found that especially in the 80s and 90s, there was a cultural shift that made this whole comic genre of superhero, there became this understanding that it was a male world and not a female world. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, so it's the guys that are interested in the comic heroes and women aren't. Now, there is a great trend away from that right now, a great trend toward more gender equity in comics and graphic novels and that type of thing. But it really, I'm getting ahead of myself. It really kind of changed during that time in illustrations. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk about that next week, so let me just stop that now. The thing is that for me, I knew that there had been a shift in my studies of this when just recently I was telling someone the backstory of Captain Marvel. Why in the world would I know that? You're going to we're going to do a little bit of backstories and hear about the heroes. And if you've got someone who's really knows their superheroes, knows comics, have them come in, because then after each service, invite them in so that when I'm done preaching, they can correct me each time. Okay. And the other thing that we're going to look at is we're going to hear some stories about everyday heroes. Here's a few of the heroes that are part of our congregation. Heroes are people who step up and sacrifice time, sacrifice resources, offer their skills above self for other people. We have a tremendous amount of heroes. Heroes that work with our children and youth. Heroes that serve, even serving and offering help to people they may never see again and may even in their service never meet. We have a tremendous group of heroes here, and we're going to be hearing some of those everyday hero stories. I thought that today, as an introduction, and because it's Father's Day, we should look at a biblical hero that is from, well, is famous for being a father, Father Abraham. So that's who you heard about today from Genesis 17. And as all heroes do, they have a backstory, so I want to give you that first. So, according to Genesis 12, Abram was hanging out in the land of Haran, just minding his own business. His father had brought the family from the land of Ur. They'd gotten as far as Haran. He was there. He'd married a woman named Sarai, so Abram and Sarai, and they were getting along fine. He had a brother there. They had a big household. And when the call came, Abram was 75 years old, and the heartbreak of their lives is they'd had no children. So God came to Abram in Genesis 12, and he said to him, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now, this is just remarkable. First of all, that God appears and talks to Abram. But he says, here he is settled. He's in his father's land. He's where all his people are. And he says, go ahead, just get up and go to a land that I will show you. Now, I know we're used to using GPS, and sometimes we have no idea where we're going. We're waiting for GPS to show us the land, right? You will show us where we're going. But for Abram, can you imagine? He's 75 years old. He's settled, and God says, just get up and go. Check this out. In Genesis 12, this is what Abram does. It says, so Abram went, as the Lord told him. He just went. So what happened in the chapters that follow, through a roundabout way, Abram and Sarah come to the land that God has showed them called Canaan, and they settle there. Now, years pass. Abram and Sarai try to get the prediction that they will be a great nation, a father to many children, Abraham. They try to do it themselves. It's very complicated, and they get in all kinds of messes. You just got to read it. It won't take you long. Just kind of read, starting in Genesis 12, and just start reading this action-packed story. Well, they try, and things aren't working. And so, finally, God comes to them and in Genesis 17 and says, look, you are going to be the parents of a nation, so let me just do this. I make a covenant with you. And this is what I'm doing. I'm going to change your names. Now, Abram meant great father. And so he took that name away, and instead of great father, said, you will be Abraham, which is father of multitudes. And he said to Sarai, I'm changing your name. Sarai meant my princess. Sarah means mother of nations. So whenever God would speak with Abraham and Sarah from this point on, if you can imagine, their names would be, and this is in Hebrew, but this is what they would hear, hello, father of multitudes and mother of nations. That's what they would hear again and again. Well, eventually, they did have a son. The son's name was Isaac. And Isaac would go on to have Jacob. And Jacob would go on to have many sons. Joseph is one of them, but they would become the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel's another name for Jacob. It means wrestles with God. You can read all about this. But what happened was Abraham had an amazing legacy. What God promised him in Genesis 22 was, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. This was after he had faithfully done what God said in going to sacrifice Isaac, which I decided I wouldn't use as a Father's Day text, but that's in Genesis 22 if you want to read that. So, did Abraham and Sarah start out to be heroes, to live above self, to sacrifice and go to an unknown land, to count on God, to have finally children, get this, when Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90, they had their child? I don't think they did. But what they did along the way was they stayed faithful, ordinary people who stayed faithful. And this is not just a story of the founding of a whole bunch of people, the nation of Israel. Because the nation of Israel became within a larger culture of that Middle and Near East, a culture that stood out in exceptional ways. They worshiped one God. They offered a covenant sign of circumcision, which was not practiced in that area. They also followed a list of commands that we know today as a holiness code. It included the Ten Commandments. It included remembering to care for the orphans and the children, and even for the refugees, the aliens in their land, remembering that from the time of Abraham, they were refugees themselves. This was countercultural in that place, and in many ways is countercultural today. Abraham was the father of a movement that would put others above self. And so they were heroes. Now, on this Father's Day, it is a time when we remember the heroic acts of the men and those who have served as our fathers, perhaps even a single mom, in our midst, and those who have gone before us. And so we remember those who have humbly said yes and sacrificed for us and for the people around us. I was thinking about stories of my father. I got out some albums and I didn't get to it, but I was going to put a picture of my father on Facebook, and maybe I will still do today. But I spent some time thinking about values that were instilled in us that might affect generations. And I thought about my father's practice of helping others and sacrificing simply to help. It was his way of generosity. And I'm remembering a particular story, perhaps a heroic story. We were driving, I was with him, I was a child, I can't even tell you the age. We're driving in his pickup. And we're driving along the road, and in front of us, I'd never seen anything like this in my life. It was as if this car in front of us leapt up and crossed in front of us, went through a ditch, and hit a tree. Who knows? I don't know. It was just the most amazing thing to see. And so my dad pulled off, just squealed off onto the side of the road, jumped out of the pickup, ran out in front of the pickup, ran down the ditch, up to the other side of the ditch, stopped, ran back down the ditch, opened my door on my side of the pickup and said, "Stay in this truck," slam, and then ran back. And I think about, you know, running into this scene, whatever he was got, this car was like V'd and into a tree, what he was going to see there. But also, he kind of hit that heroic thing, like in his mind saying, okay, I got to do this, but I got this girl who's going to get out of the truck, and I don't know, you know, and just taking care of that too. I just see this spirit, this amazing spirit of help. Think about the values that have been instilled in you by fathers, perhaps grandfathers, uncles, other people who have filled that fatherly role. They might be a value that involves hard work, using skills for a greater good. It might be a value of honesty or integrity, of truth-telling. It might be a value of family and caring for and circling around family. We have in our lives heroes who have brought great value to our lives and shown us the way. I'm not saying that every father is perfect. My dad died in 1985, so I have the luxury of allowing those memories to be fuzzy, right? Yeah? And to tell a story, a narrative that comes from those years. I'm not saying that every father is perfect, but my prayer is that for all of us, we can at least say he did the best he could, or even better. And that at some point, each of us had a father who said yes. Yes, in some way, to self-sacrifice. Now, if we're going to talk about fathers, I think we should probably talk about Superman, because Superman had two fathers. There's a backstory. So what planet was Superman born on? Krypton. Oh, okay. We got some comic people here. I love it. Okay, so this is, and there are variations to these stories if you go to the films or you go to the TV shows or you go to the comic books, but it's all kind of comes down to Krypton had some problems and it was going to explode. So Superman's birth father, anyone want to give it a try? Oh, I love this. Jor-El. Superman's birth father, Jor-El, put Superman in a rocket, this baby, and sent this rocket off. Now, can you imagine how that would tear you up? You know, the sacrifice of that. I mean, just even that little backstory is amazing, that before this baby knew exactly who his father was, his father had given his life for this child. So the child crash lands in a field in Smallville, Kansas, and Jonathan and Martha Kent see this rocket, and they get the baby, and they rescue the baby, because wouldn't you do the same if you found a baby in a rocket? So anyway, in your field. So they rescued this baby and they raised this child as their own. They named him Clark Kent. Clark, just in case you want to know, is Martha's maiden name. So Clark Kent is raised. And this is kind of cool. They start to discover, and you find this in the comics and the film, they start to discover that this child that they're raising has incredible powers. And what Jonathan Kent does, Pa Kent, is that he helps Clark Kent to understand that the powers he has should be used for others, to help others for good. So we have this amazing story of two fathers. The one father, Jonathan Kent, gives his son a foundation for goodness. that you have powers and skills beyond anyone else, and that they are to be used for good. And what we hear in the backstory is that Jor-El shows up again as a hologram, as a video, whatever, and he offers Clark Kent, Superman, his origin story, and he offers him an idea of how to use his powers as well. These two fathers shape comic book history, right? Shape this fictional history for the good for this man with superpowers. This is what Christopher Reeve said. He was in the 1972 film and starred as Superman. He said, "What made Superman a hero was not that he had power, but he had the wisdom and the maturity to use power wisely." Now, how could we not talk about Superman and not talk about Jesus? Think about Jesus' fathers. So we have a heavenly father who we understand offers a part of himself to walk this earth. It's not all fun and games, it's painful. But sacrifices that closest intimacy so that Jesus might know us, be us, walk this earth. And we have a story of another father. We usually do this backstory at Christmas, and that is Joseph, who when visited by an angel and told, yeah, the woman you're engaged to is pregnant, it's not yours, marry her, it's your son, said yes. And we see in Jesus as an adult, a man who is open and kind to those, especially those who are marginalized. We see a man who has intimate and deep knowledge of Holy Scripture. We see a man who speaks with wisdom. And I can't help but think that it is not only the influence of God, but is the influence of an earthly father who said, "Let me teach you. Let me show you how to behave in this world," that brings Jesus, fully human and fully divine, to who he is. We are shaped by those who seek a greater good in this world, and each of us have been touched by those people. So we might ask, what does this have to do with us? How in the world might we be heroes? Well, I would like to offer a couple of challenges this morning. The first is that if it has occurred to you that there is a hero in your life, as we've been talking today, that you might find a way to thank that person. And if that person has gone on to their heavenly home, perhaps it's your father or your grandfather, that you might tell a story of their heroic action to someone else. I remember it was the spring of my senior year in high school. Just a couple years before that, my father had purchased my uncle's construction company, and it was a hard go. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table with all of the papers out in front of us, how much tuition and housing would be at the university. There was how much I would get in loans and how much I would receive in scholarships. And by my parents' calculation, they would have to contribute $50 a week. 1976, this is pretty hard. $50 a week. And so when they got all done figuring it out, my dad said to me, "Well, I can work a little harder and I can get a few more jobs, and I don't want you to worry about it." And I never did, and the money faithfully came into my bank account. I know that one of my values of generosity comes from my father. What values rise in you because a hero offered self-sacrifice for you? Give thanks. My second challenge today, maybe a little more difficult, but could be fun, is to be heroic this next week, just this week. Don't have to worry after. Just be heroic. So if there's a place where it would be easier to just ignore what's happening, don't ignore it. Do something. If there's a place where it would be easier to offer judgment, instead, offer grace. And if you find yourself in a place where it would be easier to just get on with what you have to do, stop and see what God might be calling you to do. It might be a small gesture to sacrifice self. It might be a larger gesture. But if we're attentive, God will put us in positions where we can rise to the role of hero. So next week, I'm going to be talking about Captain Marvel. And we're going to talk about a code of conduct for heroes. Won't that be fun? And you know there's some stuff in the Bible about that. So we'll be talking about it. My hope is that by the end of this series, that we will have a really good sense of what it means to be called by Christ and to be heroes in this place. Imagine if all of us in the community of Christ said we will be heroic. We will search out the greater good, and that's what we'll work for. This world would change. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the heroes in our lives. Perhaps they're our father. Perhaps it's another person we're naming today. But man, for the heroes who have brought us to this place, we are mindful. We're mindful, Lord, also of times that we have had heroic actions in our lives. We give thanks for the fathers who are sitting here, who have put others above self again and again. And we ask, Lord, in this next week that you might open a window to us, a realization of where we might offer an heroic act that will improve the life of another person. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.